All right, what's going on? It's America Unplugged Saturday. What's going on? Hope everybody's doing well. My name is Billy Ray Valentine. Greetings and blessings. The legendary Don Jeffries with us. No Tony Arterburn with us this week. He is driving somewhere. Don Jeffries says he's getting too big for us. It's possible. It's possible. We'll drag him back here, though. Hit him over the head with a club. Make sure he's on next week. The legendary Don Jeffries. Say hello to the people.
Hello, people. Great to be here with you guys. Good to see John Brissom and Chris Graves, a Hall of Fame researcher. So, it's always great to be here. Always lots to talk about. And, I'm sure we'll find new ways to blackpill ourselves for what's going on.
Excellent. That's exactly what we want. And these two kind of look alike with the beards. Mr. Chris Graves is here. How are you, sir? Say what's up to the people.
Very portly right now. And I need to shave. I've been doing deliveries since 6 o'clock last night. So, yeah, very exhausted, but always glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And of course, John Brissom is here. How are you, sir? Say what's up to the people. Fix your gut. The Patriot Street Fighter himself, live from the kill shed, Black Trump. Tell him what's up, sir.
Thank you, young Kennedy. Just like Chris, I myself am a paid bird delivery, Peter Thiel delivery man. I've made many deliveries for the various delivery apps in my spare time, so I understand your pain, brother.
Yeah, you get tipped like $2.50 for pretzels in the morning.
If you're even lucky to get tips the way things are. Definitely glad to be back here among such esteemed people. Great to see you, Don, as always. Billy, young Kennedy, whatever. It's great to be back here on America Unplugged.
All right, let's get into it. We got a couple of things to talk about this week. I do want to talk about the Trump immunity case, the presidential immunity case, because it has some implications for us moving forward, depending on what happens here. I do want to talk about that. CBDC is apparently taking over. At least that's the reports on Technocracy News and Trends. The editor says he doesn't believe it, but I absolutely do. And I want to go around the panel and see what we're thinking of this. Don Jeffries, you wrote a Substack article that we need to get into right away. Tell the people where they can find your Substack, and then we'll start talking about it. Lay it out for us.
It's called I Protest, just like my live streaming show right here on these same fine platforms. DonaldJeffries.substack.com. It's the only place I'm not being shadow banned.
All right. So what did you write about? Tell us.
Well, I think I called it waving the Ukrainian flag of surrender. And again, these people, these clowns can't do much really to provoke me anymore. But it's just, I thought it was a little over the top, and they did get lots of criticism. And because considering, and of course, this bill had plenty in it for Israel too, as it always does. But to my knowledge, they've never waved the Israeli flag on Congress before, which they probably should do almost after every foreign aid bill, because it's an annexation, it's a celebration of their victory over the American taxpayer. But I don't even understand the Ukrainian thing, but it's gone beyond that. But to be waving a foreign flag in Congress, and then Massey, Thomas Massey, who's I think the best of a sorry lot. I mean, I think that guy's the best one they have there. He just took video of it. and was, talking about how disgraceful this was. And the House Sergeant at Arms threatened to fine him $500 if he posted it again. So again, aren't they proud of this? So, but consider what was in that bill. Not only was it, I lost track of the billions they've sent to Ukraine, but you look at what's happening in this country. And at the same time, you have Rand Paul, who I think one of the better ones, he's Ron Paul's son, but he's out there saying, hey, you know, we're probably going to have to look at entitlements too. We got to kind of, which is the first, the stupid party's first response now. Trump alluded to it and everything. And as somebody who collects Social Security, I really resent that. But, you know, the idea, because it's our money and they're paying it back. But The idea that he would mention that at the same time that this nonsense is going on where Ukraine is getting this kind of money, and you have Mike Johnson, MAGA Mike Johnson, who's apparently worse than McCarthy. And then at the same time, somebody corrected me on Substack. I don't know. So maybe it's disinformation, but there's been a lot out there. How about him? When he was 25-year-old single man, he adopted a 15-year-old black kid, almost man. Ooh. No, and so I say, you know, if you're a 25-year-old single man and you adopt a 15-year-old girl, is there going to be any doubt what your motivation is? So I don't know what that was, because any fan, but now people are saying, no, actually, his wife and him did it together. So who knows? You can't tell anything with these in it. But this guy is really very suspect, and he is completely subservient to the powers that be now. I mean, he's no indistinguishable from Pelosi to me, and he's the one that kind of led this charge. But the idea that you would give this kind of money to Ukraine again, and talking about a black hole, I mean, what are they doing this for? And they don't even know how much money is getting there. This guy Zelensky is apparently getting it. He's going to his foreign accounts and his friends and stuff. It's just unbelievable, all the problems we have in America. The Republicans are supposed to be the alternative to the crazy Democrats, talking about that's their big idea. So we need to cut Social Security and Medicare, the entire monstrosity of government, all the crap they could cut, all the worthless agencies. And all the stuff that they take, that's where they begin, but that's why they call them the stupid party. So it just, you know, it just really pissed me off to see those Ukrainian flags there. And the fact that millions of Americans are cool with that, they don't even know. Why are you supporting, what are you supporting Ukraine for? Why is that so important to you? I don't understand it.
People nowadays have no idea. And it's by design, right? So they know that there's something going on in Ukraine, right? They know that there's a war. And they know that it's popular to defend that side. And that's it, right? So I'm generalizing here. This is most Americans, right? If you ask them to point out Ukraine on a map, they probably won't be able to do it. They don't know. But they've followed whatever the mainstream media has put out there. They've attached themselves to it, and they see this as an act of solidarity. They're like, oh yes, you know, the Ukraine, let's do that. Putin is bad. And he may very well be, I don't fucking know, but you know, that's the mentality of people out here. And so they go right along with this. They're not going to question it in any way, shape or form, Don. And this same argument can be carried out to so many different subjects, so many different topics, so many different situations that we find ourselves in right now. They don't know. They're just going to go about and not question. John Brissom, give me your thoughts real quick before we go to Chris Gray.
I mean, I'm no fan of Putin. I'm no fan of Zelensky either. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan that we're giving millions of dollars to Ukraine and for Zelensky to use for whatever he well pleases to use it for. Mm-hmm. You know, I it doesn't surprise me that Ron, as you got Ron Paul to admit on your show, Billy Ray, you know, the Pauls are long-term counts for national policy members. So it doesn't surprise me when the CMP is backing. Most of the CMP is backing Ukraine. Some of them are backing backing Russia or Putin's sycophants. It just depends. Right. But most of them are backing Ukraine. So it doesn't surprise me that Rand Paul and the Pauls are also, even though Ron Paul's kind of counter signaling against Israel and has somewhat, Rand Paul's been more pro-Zionist over the years. And so in reality, it doesn't, you know, Rand Paul's never going to come in a clutch for us.
Right.
He fails every single time, every time, you know, and I mean, Don talked about it. I don't know, infinitum about, you know, the conservatives and what do they really represent and who are really their constituents, right? Because it's certainly not, you know, the American public that votes for them that they choose to represent. It's more like AIPAC and other, you know, the CMP and other special interest groups, right? Obviously. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, them, you know, flying the Ukrainian flag, that it's like some win that we're giving more millions of dollars as everything is crumbling here in the United States of America it's silly to me. It's the same, like, why weren't they flying? Might as well be flying Israeli flags. They might as well be flying Taiwanese flags, because I don't see anybody talking about the money that they keep bolstering to Taiwan as well, too, to get them prepared for when China invades Taiwan. I mean, we literally have the semiconductor and the chip manufacturers pulling their plants out of Taiwan and putting them back into America, which is something that should have been done anyway. Let's be real here. Okay. But they're pulling them as fast as they possibly can. Samsung will no longer produce any chips within Taiwan, and we'll only reproduce them within the United States of America, for what I saw on Business Insider, because they know it's a coming. They know it's coming when China invades Taiwan, okay? And it's going to happen within the next few years. And let's just forget, Michael Flynn's brother, Charlie Flynn, is head of Pacific Command. Man. He was given that promotion after January 6th, after, you know, he was supposedly, you know, told for the National Guard to, quote, unquote, stand down, if you believe the narrative, okay? Biden didn't fire Charlie Flynn. He promoted him to head of Pacific Command, and he's the head of Pacific Command right now, okay? So if we go to war, that's who's over there. That's who's commanding the Navy over Pacific Theater, okay? Yeah, so really, it's all a show. We know it's
all scripted.
It's sickening. Truly is sickening.
Wow. Wow. Chris Graves, thoughts, man? I can't hear you.
Can't hear you. Can't
you're
hear
you, muted, sir. And you're still muted. Let me see if I can unmute
you.
There we go.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, brace yourself, guys. What was it, like $177 billion or something in foreign aid to Ukraine, right?
Overall, I think this last one was 60 or 90 billion. But yeah, but altogether, yeah, I think so.
Were we paying for Zelensky's piano playing with the pecker thing from a couple years ago?
I guess we're subsidizing that.
Worth subsidizing, every day.
Right. And we have to pay for it, okay? I think with the Ukraine thing, obviously, it's a money laundering scheme the whole time. And I remember talking to Mr. Donald Jeffries. I think it was the day, I think it was the day after the Ukraine thing was in the news, because that bumped all of the, at the time, all the current vaccine injury and death news off mm-hmm. the airwaves all together. You remember, Don, when we were talking about that? And I'm like, yeah, what's this Ukraine thing all of a sudden? Like, out of nowhere, it seemed like it came, you know? And it took all the vaccine injury and death stuff out of the news, and it was all full force with Ukraine and, you know, Russian troops. And then we got all this footage that looked kind of weird and wonky, kind of like other events from the past. Remember? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just actually kind of surprised that the Ukraine, or even with Congress, it has to be like a slap in the face to us, right? By waving the flag, like, hey, remember that? Remember you just paid for the Hamas and the mm-hmm. the Israel thing, or donated, whatever. You remember this other thing? You know, it's like they're laughing in everyone's face. We can't do anything about it, apparently, because well, January 6th kind of thing. That January 6th, in my opinion, was a reason to scare people from being able to go out and protest.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Pretty much.
Absolutely. Well, you see Molly Brown in the chat says, after watching my show yesterday, where I had a couple more January 6th people on there, she will be canceling her USAA insurance money because I had the wife of one of the Proud Boys who got like a 15-year sentence or something, and they canceled her insurance, and they told her it was because her husband was a Proud Boy. I mean, this is it. And this is going on. And Tim Rivers, who was on the show yesterday, who wrote about the American Gulag Chronicles, he's really studied this stuff. And he told me, as somebody who's getting Social Security now, this really terrifies me, that they just stopped paying all the old people that were accused from January 6th that were getting they just stopped sending them Social Security. I mean,
that's nuts.
They're not even paying any attention to the law. They're just doing whatever they want, and people don't care. It's it's going to come to you.
People don't care, and they don't know. Yeah. They're not aware of what's going on. Listen, I'm the first one to be hypercritical of January 6th and the people that were involved. But I mean, screwing with the wife's money, come on, man, that's ridiculous. Stop doing that. And Social Security payments, it's out of the question. Stop the nonsense, man.
And not to mention, even after the draconian sentence is over, like the one guy I was talking to was at a halfway house yesterday. I felt really terrible for him. And his sentence is almost up. But as he said, he's going to be homeless. His family doesn't support him. He can't get it. People don't realize that once you're ostracized, anybody who's known ex-cons knows how hard it is for an ex-con to get a job once they find out. But now you've got that January 6th thing there. How are you ever? I mean, this is unbelievable what they've done. And they've criminalized protests. And I said, I would feel the same way if this was Black Lives Matters people or North American Man Boy Love Association is somehow real, whatever, whoever the group is, if they were treated like this, you can't deny them due process. You can't just give them incredible sentences and lecture them. I mean, they had the guy I talked about that he was going to get off without a jail sentence. And then he made the mistake of watching ridiculous Mike Lindell's special on the vote fraud. And somebody found out he watched it and they gave him like a 2-year sentence for watching Mike Lindell. I mean, this is not even close to me. It's so much identity politics. Yeah, it is. And if you're cheering it on because you don't like the people, everybody hates Trump or whatever, just consider they can turn that around on you. You want to give them the precedent? Well, you know, we did it here. So, okay, you know, maybe you'll get people be thrown in prison for watching America Unplugged. You know, you set a terrible precedent here.
Let me ask you a quick. Were the people that were the January Sixers that were denied Social Security, were they incarcerated or not? Because if they were quote unquote convicted, incarcerated, that would be for anybody who was convicted.
Yeah, I wasn't. I don't think so, because again, I couldn't get into it. But I get the impression no, because I think, I don't know for sure how that works, but I think if you're incarcerated and you're collecting Social Security, it's probably not that many people that are in that position, because they're got to be pretty old. But I think your spouse gets it, or your family.
That's true. Yes, your spouse does get it, and your children too, and or
your children, yes. So, but I get the impression they're not giving it to anybody. So
that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
it crazy. Yeah, it is. And again, but nobody cares, because if you, I'm writing about this January 6th, you see some of the things these judges are telling, they're lecturing the people. You should have known better. You know, you shouldn't be. You say, that has no place in a courtroom. Address the law. I don't mean you should have known better. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But yeah,
and they use people like Joe Biggs. They use those examples. You know, because of what he said on record. He was stupid enough to stream himself on YouTube saying these things. And then I get pushback for saying that he was going to take over the Capitol. He's like, well, that doesn't mean he took over the Capitol. I'm like, that's not what I'm saying. He was out there saying that this is what he was going to do. It's like playing into the hands of these people.
He's being agent provocateur at that point.
It's selective, because you have Madonna saying she thought about burning down the White House.
Right. It's 100% selective, and the problem is these people that were on the forefront of it, giving the government, giving our overseers the ammunition to do shit like this, and this is why we find ourselves in this position. Straight up and down, that kind of bridges over to the next subject, to the CBDC, right? Because if they're going to control everything, right, that's the best way to do it. I mean, that's the checkmate, right? At the end of the day, on Technocracy News and Trends, it was an article talking about that 98% of central banks are trending in that direction. You know, they're going for a CBDC. That's what they want to do. The editor of Technocracy News and Trends seems to think that that's not the case, that it's nonsense, that there's only two countries that have moved in that direction. I think this is inevitable. I think the CBDC is the thing. I don't know how we get around it. I don't think we get around it. I think this is coming. I think the 98% is accurate. Everybody's looking to go that direction, whether they're there or not right now is inconsequential. They're going to get there at some point. We need to get ready for it. Cash will be a thing of the past. Hold it. Store it. It's going to be worth something one day because no one will have it. All right? It's all going to be digital. Every single thing. That's what's going to go down. Don Jeffries, your thoughts. Are we avoiding this?
Well, I'd like to, because this would be, you know, I talk about crossing lines in the sand all the time. You know, I talked about how we crossed a huge one at Waco, and we're always doing this where we just, that's the next step. Okay. Where we're just, you know, leaving whatever morality and, you know, sense of law or whatever behind. Something like this obviously would, because what you're doing then, because they're not going to, digitalized currency is bad enough, but they're going to tie it to something. They're going to tie it. They might call it a credit score, but they're going to, because this, the idea is to control you. It's not that we just don't want to deal with cash.
Right.
Because cash gives you a little bit of independence. They want to have the social credit score. People like us are going to be out of luck because we've littered the record. You're talking about Joe Biggs or whatever. The comments we've made over the years that are everywhere. Right, man.
Hey, oh, never said we wanted to take over the Capitol.
No, I'm not promoting any acts of violence. Ten books I have on the record now. Tons of articles, American Free Press. Tons of articles on Substack. So, I'm branded a thought criminal. There's nothing I can do. I can't repudiate all of it. But what's going to happen if they decide to do that? Because then all they have to do, it's like now on YouTube where I have to talk to Tony. Okay, should we pull this live stream of iProtest? Did somebody mention the C word? Right. Because if they do, they're going to suspend my channel. So it's going to be the same kind of thing. Are there going to be certain things you can't say or do, or automatically, hey, you're not going to have access to your money because you're talking about canceling people's Social Security? And somebody like me, I'm getting Social Security now. That's the first place they're going to go to.
Yeah,
hey, you know, this, you know, because they've already talked about tying Social Security to this stuff. So, hey, you know, hey, look, you come on, man. Why should we be paying you even your own money back when you're saying all these, you know, anti-government things? You know, you're a hater. You have the insurrectionist spirit, whatever you want to call it. You're a terrorist. But this is very troubling, because if they can do that, then just imagine being at the whim of them saying, well, okay, look, you know, getting a message. I mean, like now you get the fact checker's message. This is going to go beyond that, where you get the message, hey, you know, your last tweet, it needs to be removed right away if you want to access your money and pay the water or the electric. That's, you know, this is, but again, we have got to, and I'm telling you, it's why we talk about vote fraud and all this stuff. I'm out, I see the people, I talk to some of them. They don't need to do a whole lot of fraud. They don't need to do much. There are millions and millions of people that are going to be perfectly fine with this. I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
They're not going to protest. They're on board with anything, because they'll come up with some reason why this is good. They'll have some of their stupid celebrities tweeting about it with big smiles on their faces and to tell you why you should do it. And I don't know how you can sell something like this. But I can tell you, the only ones who are going to be against it, you may have Tucker Carlson, but he's not on Fox News anymore. But you can have people like us. We're the only ones going to be talking about, because everybody's going to be on board. And those people that are waving the Ukrainian flags, do you trust those Republicans, the alternative party? Do you trust them to oppose it? Not for a second. So if they want it, it's there. It's just a question of they to do it.
100%. There's not going to be any opposition to it. I mean, there might be some opposition, but nothing overwhelming. Maybe I'm blackpilled. I hope there is an overwhelming opposition where we can delay it at the very least. Maybe we'll get a delay, but I think ultimately it's unavoidable. And you know what? There are some people that are tracing the demise of the dollar has been taking place for quite some time, right? But the most recent markers when it's been used as a weapon, right? When it's been used as a way to wage war on other countries, right? Since that's what's been done, in particular with Russia, right? The most recent example of it, and that's only going to translate to people if they're doing it on a nation state level already. You know, you think they won't do it to us for whatever nonsense. And people look at it like, no, it's not going to be that draconian. It's not going to be that serious. I think we're going to have some type of super high credit score level, social credit score, to get into the new cities, the bubble cities. Like, I mean, this sounds like some Mad Max type thing or whatever, like some futuristic type thing. But I think it's coming.
No, and the regular credit score, you know, I wrote a lot about this in Survival of the Richest. That's very unfair, too. And again, it stops people. The poorer you are, you're going to have a lower credit score. You just are. And I talked about how, and even then, we talked about insurance in terms of J6ers. They already have been charging people with low credit scores or people that are just are poorer. They have to pay more for car insurance, for instance.
Right.
It's completely unfair. It has nothing to do. The system works against you. So if they throw this in there, the social credit, the regular credit score already, I've had problems in the past with it where you got, one time my mother-in-law's, because she had the same name as my wife, got her credit got mixed in with it. It took me years to try to get rid of it. There was a Jamaican smuggling ring one time that got our number and charged some stuff that would still pop up a decade later. Sometimes it pops up. Mm. So it's a mess. And the fact that everything's tied to it, and they now use that when you're getting a job. Back when I was first working, I didn't even know what the hell a credit score was. And they didn't look at it. It's just like you didn't have to have a resume.
Right.
For a job, unless it was like a really great job, which I wasn't going to get as a young kid. But they didn't even talk about it. Now they talk about credit scores and they look, well, okay, you know, they're not going to hire you because of it. So it's already unfair with the regular credit score. You throw the social credit score in, you're opening up a real Orwellian can of worms.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to go to John Brissom and Chris Graves right now. Karen Carpenter is in the chat, who is a warrior, like a literal warrior. And she's like, you know, contributing to everything that we do here in the alt media, man. Thank you so much. And thank you for telling me that I was cut off yesterday, because I sometimes I start to think that it's just me, you know, because everybody's, no, you weren't cut off. No, you weren't cut off. I'm like, well, I thought I was cut off. I had a discussion with DeFango yesterday, a very brief one. He claims to have invented and created QAnon. Interesting stuff. So I gave him some pushback. It wasn't my show, so I didn't get to give him all the pushback I wanted to, but I gave him a little bit of pushback, and I was, you know, kind of in a controlled situation. Into the Microcosm with Jimmy Jean. I was on that show last night. It's always a fantastic show. And it's on freeworld.fm as well. Go listen if you want. And thank you for that, Karen. I appreciate. Okay. John Brissom, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm going to look at it. I agree with Don, but I'm going to present something that maybe y'all are maybe not aware of.
Oh, God.
I've been following the debtclock.org website that was founded by the Durst family. You might think of Robert Durst, who was the elitist that murdered his neighbor, who was put on trial and was later eventually convicted and died in prison. So the Durst family is a very affluent Jewish real estate family, very much, you know, tight in with Trump over the past 100 years. So they run this debt clock website where you can go and look, and they give you all these interesting statistics about how much we are in debt as a country. And we are, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we're not, but they have a little top thing in the right-hand corner called a secret window. And you can click on it, and it's been esoteric about what they're calling. We're going through the Great Reset right now. To what Alice Bailey wrote about with the St. Germain Trust and kind of like what they're terming now the quantum financial system. And so you have one of the wealthiest families in the world. They're making these cartoons kind of like memeing and bringing people in to what that might be. So one of the biggest things that they show is they have a scale with the commodity-backed currency. Now, you have the BRICS. You talked about BRICS using a CBDC backed by gold, allegedly, supposedly. Well, the American one is going to be backed by all commodities, oil, stock market, labor, gold, silver, pretty much anything that, you know, I think they have a whole list of 12 there, including, interestingly enough, data and free energy. Okay. And so they're alluding to that's what it's going to be based off of, is our version of the CBDC. Now, I believe that we're going to get probably about 5 to 10 cryptocurrencies and most of them are going to be financed and funded by Peter Thiel. You're going to be given a choice. Okay, they're not going to give us one singular Fed-backed cryptocurrency. Mm. You're going to get a choice of cryptocurrencies. I think one of them will probably be XRP. They'll allow Bitcoin to exist, but Bitcoin's been government controlled as far as like the amount of Bitcoin owned by the government and the amount of Bitcoin that's used to fund black projects in the United States government. I would actually argue that Bitcoin was originally started by the United States intelligence agencies. Okay. But that's so they're going to give you an illusion of freedom, and you might have a Fed coin in there as well, but you're going to have an illusion of freedom of cryptocurrencies that you're able to use for your payment, because cash is going to go away. They're completely phasing out cash. Right. It's donezo. Okay. So they're going to back it by commodities, and what they're going to do is they're going to offer you two Fed dollars, you know, whatever CBDC, whatever crypto, XRP or whatever, for every one USD you turn in. Okay, that's look like how they're going to give it to the masses. And when you have it, you only have a certain amount of time to spend it. Mm. Okay. And so you know, and they're talking about get your gold, get your silver, you know, everything's going to be revealed. You'll make a lot of money off those commodities because they'll be tied into the new coins or whatever. Okay, this is all the Durst family symbology. And I'm not saying they're 100% right, okay, but it's just what I'm seeing. But the very interesting thing about it in closing is this. They used to have like the writing of Christ in the Jesus fish, that Christ is Lord, and eventually it all morphed esoterically into an X. Now we know that Elon Musk is going to try to make X into the WeChat of America, meaning that it's going to be the everything app, the social credit score app, the banking app, the insurance app. Now Peter Thiel had one. That was the trial for it that folded, that I think is going to be integrated into X, which was called Glorify, which was pushed by Candace Owens. Okay. And it literally had a conservative social credit score in there where you could rank people that purchase from you, whether they're worthy or not, or it had, so you could buy insurance or sell insurance through there, or finance or credit or whatever. Okay. That's going to be implemented into X. So if my thesis on this is correct, X is going to be the platform of what they run the American cryptocurrency through. And what's going to happen, I believe, in closing, and I know this is speculation, this may never happen, is that the internet is going to go down in America sometime in the next year or two for about 10 to 14 days. After that, they're going to be like, look, the only runaround we had to get it back up is Starlink. Okay, which uses low Earth orbit satellites for communication, supposedly, allegedly. Okay, even though most of your cell phone communications and most of your internet communications are done through wires and ground-based towers. Okay, very little is actually done by satellites except for GPS. Okay, if you're using your phone. Okay, but they're going to say, well, that's all you got. So to get on the internet and to use X, because it's the only financial system that exists anymore, you're going to have to get a government registered ID. And that's how they shut everything down. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I'm not saying I've gotten some divine revelation from God, but I think something like that's going to happen because they're all telegraphing it and very few people actually pay attention. They think that when the Fed folds, that we're going to get just another Fed version of it. I don't think so. Now, whether it ties into the mark of the beast or not, I don't know. But it sure looks like that's the direction of which they're going with. So, Don, not only are you not going to be able to buy and sell because you're on a list like I'm on a list, brother? Okay. You ain't going to be able to access the internet anymore.
That's the end of my life right there. Because this is my world, the internet. Are you kidding? Jeez.
You know,
Just get ready.
Yeah, it's plausible. I just don't think they have to go that route in order to get this done. You know, I think they can just ease it in and most people will just go along with it. I like what Don says a lot of the times when it gives credence to some of my arguments when Don is like, you know, I walk around a neighborhood and I see people that literally supported Joe. Don't know how, but they do, you know, and the thing is, yeah, there are people that are just going to go along. they're going to go along to get along. You know what I mean? So we may not have to do the hard, you know, all hell's breaking loose. I'm not saying that that's not possible and that that's, you know, that it's not even probable. I think there's an argument to be made there. I just think that they can do it in a totally different way. Very simply, very easily. Ease people into this. People will take it. They'll go with it. Before we know it, we're going to be in a full-blown prison. I think we are now. But I mean, it's all in the eye of the beholder. At some point, we're not going to be able to deny it, right? It'll just be there. And it'll be an open-air prison where we get to roam like chickens, you know, and like, oh, okay, we're free, but not really, but we're free, you know, and just walking around and I can buy this with my CBDC if I keep my mouth shut about something, you know? It's not a good look. Chris Graves, what's up, bro? And you're muted again, Mr. Chris Graves. I'll give the play-by-play. I can read your lips for a certain amount of time. All right, go ahead.
What John said.
Is that what are you saying?
What John said. Everything John said.
Oh, okay. So you don't have anything to add?
I timed that pretty horribly. I'll be honest. I'm going to, you know, a lot of people wouldn't admit something, but like I've researched a bunch of different things, but I don't know my ass from my elbow when it comes to CBDC, to be honest with you. So I really don't have an informed opinion on it. My good friend and co-researcher, I guess, Mr. Peter Sikosh, he knows a bunch about this kind of thing, but.
Well, it's inevitable now. Yeah. You know, I mean, I just, in my eyes, it's inevitable. Whether you know a ton about it or a little bit about it is really inconsequential. Is it coming? We know that.
Well, do you remember this, Billy Ray? During COVID, right?
Yeah.
I noticed at Walmart, when you would go in there to get your groceries and everything, a lot of them weren't taking dollar bills.
The people aren't taking dollar bills out here in New York anymore, bro. You can go into stores. You go into what is it? There's a few stores, man. The Chipotle knockoff. I forget the name of it. Dos Toros, man. You can't go in there with money. Exactly. You can't. They won't take it. They won't. And that's just, and that's where everything is going. You can find several eateries around the city that won't take cash anymore.
Right.
That's it. You know, and to be honest with you, even the stores that do take cash, how many people are paying with cash? They're using Apple Pay. They're using their cards, whatever the hell. Right. So it's being phased out in that manner. You know, and it's the best way to pacify people. It's the best way to ease people into the process. How many people are going to push back? How many people are going to lose their minds? If it's overnight, maybe, but if it's done like this, no one will notice. And that's the game plan. That's what they do. We are the ones screaming about it here, but the mainstream doesn't give a shit.
Yep.
For the most part. Okay. Anything else, Chris Graves?
That's you pretty much covered. I remember the coin shortage thing during COVID too. And
yeah, that was part of it too.
Yeah,
no, you're right, Chris.
And then they were talking about how, as if they didn't get enough money in general, Walmart was like, if you bought something and you had like 30 cents. Oh, just donate the 30 cents that you would have got back in coins. You know, remember that whole roundup? Right. That's better. Roundup. Like, come on, Walmart. Yeah.
We got a star-studded chat today. We're going to get to everyone in the chat. But yeah, I want to say
Mr. Peter Sikosh, too. One of Don's great researchers. Yeah.
He's in the chat.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. What's up, Peter? How you doing? We got Mr. Tom Cooper, TMP's in the chat. What's going on? But my boy Wheezy's in the chat. How are you? Wheezy was supposed to be on a show today. He's going to be on next week, most likely. Let's hope. And of course, Mr. Steve Poikkanen gracing us with his presence and his knowledge and his swag. What's up, Mr. Poikkanen? Greetings and blessings to you. I saw Mr. Gardner Goldsmith in there somewhere at one point. What's up, sir? How are you? I tuned into some of the shows this week. I had the honor of being able to do so. Since I had a different work schedule this week. What else? We'll get to everybody. Jason Barker's in the chat, the Atlas of freeworld.fm. Excellent Nights of the Storm. Excellent Nights of the Storm this morning. I do, you know, I have a problem with the way the immigration situation is being talked about in alternative circles. I really do have a problem with it. I'm not going to find many friends on this, but the verbiage that's being used, I don't like it. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't think it's factual, and I don't think it properly represents the situation of the people that are here, right? I really don't. And this welfare situation that everybody's, oh, they're coming up here for the welfare, for the welfare, for the welfare. Well, some of them are, right? But you can say that about everything in every situation. Well, some of them are, right? But the vast majority aren't. Does the immigration policy need to be reformed? Absolutely. Do we need to shut down the border? Absolutely. But let's try to reframe the conversation. At least I'm going to try to do that. Everybody else can do as they will. But I don't feel it's the way it's being described, especially in the alt media. Especially in the alt media. What we're doing here is a disservice to the situation as human beings, in my opinion. All right. Let's talk about Donald Trump, who may or may not be a human being, but we're going to talk about it anyway.
Where is Jesus?
The presidential immunity case. I'm going to go to John Brisson first. He's been following it. Don, have you been following it?
Yeah, I mean, I try to follow all his cases, but I mean, he's got a new one every other day. So, you know, it's kind of hard, you know.
You know, but I thought this thing was black and white. You know, and it's not, right? There's a lot of legal constitutional nuance that I know nothing about, right? But ultimately, it doesn't look like he's getting granted full immunity, which is good, right? We don't want this for him or anyone else, because if he gets it, then Joe Biden gets it, right? You know, everybody else gets it afterwards. So we don't want that. But there are other things going on in the process. John, I'm going to go to you. Then I'm going to Don. Then I'm going to Chris. What's up, John?
Yeah, so I mean, I've been watching it. I know the Trump Inside Project, as Don would say, there's a charade here. And I know that the Supreme Court doesn't care about the Constitution and hasn't for I don't know for how long. Okay. So let's get that out of the way first. It is a charade and it's a show here. But nonetheless, I still watch it because I wanted to see the narratives that were at play, right?
Right.
So it seems to be the discussion seems to be, okay, so where does the president have immunity? Is it when he's acting on behalf of the American people and the American government? Does he have immunity in private matters or not really private, like personal, but like governmental official matters? Right. All right. That would be maybe hidden from the public. Okay. And then his own private personal matters. Does he have immunity for those things? Right. So they discuss kind of like Nixon and Watergate, right? Where it wasn't like Nixon thought that, you know, there was like you could argue that Trump, or at least what was given to him, that there was a grand conspiracy against him to steal the election. Right. Like Nixon did it just because allegedly, supposedly he wanted to win. Right. He wanted to have data on his opponents. Right. And so it was personal with Nixon. It wasn't acting on behalf of the United States government like they were trying to argue with Trump, which I don't agree with. But that's what they're trying to say. Right. OK, that's what Trump's lawyer has, the same dysphonia issue. John Sara, that I think RFK Jr., you would know more, Billy, about that than me, because it sounds like he does. But I don't know.
Something going on. Right.
Yeah. So the thing is like, you know, I it's weird because I'm watching it and they're trying to make that argument. Like Sara's trying to make the argument. Well, Nixon was personally for him, but Trump with January 6th was because he was trying to stop the Biden coup and the Chinese pretty much. Now, he wasn't directly saying that, but that's what he was trying to argue. Okay, that it was in the best interest for the American people for that to happen. Okay. Yeah. And then the private and public conversations, you know, like the government conversations or the private conversations that Trump had, like which is which and which does he have immunity for? Okay. So the CMP conservative justices, they're trying to be like, well, we should kick it back to the lower courts. And okay, so there's ways that they can rule. They can rule blanket immunity, which I don't think is going to happen. It may happen. I don't think it's going to happen. Where president can literally do whatever they want, public or private, it doesn't matter. They could do whatever they want because they're president. Okay. I don't think that's the case, even though we know they could do whatever they want because of the president. That's how it is, at least on appearances. I don't think that's the case. Okay. So next goes, okay, well, are they liable for private personal stuff or are they liable for governmental, like private or public? Okay. And the argument that I see that it seems like they're going to make, the one that the Supreme Court's going to allow, okay, is that if the president is acting at least in what he believes to be the best interest of the American public, doesn't matter publicly if he makes these statements or privately he makes these statements or does these acts, okay, he has some sort of immunity, okay? I think that's what they're going to go with, okay? Now, I don't know. It could be... it could just be they kick it back and go, okay, you figure out what's public, you figure out what's private or governmental, and then from there we'll go, okay? They could do that, but no matter what, the way it looks like is Jack Smith's case ain't going to make it before the election. Now, it looks nigh impossible.
I think that's the thing to take out of this. The case will not go on before the election. That's the win that Trump is going to get out of this. The case is going to happen. If you listen to Steve Bannon, they'll tell you that the case is going to completely fall apart. It's probably not true. The case is going to happen, right? Even the lawyer admitted to, because they made the difference between governmental actions and private actions, right? I think that's the way it was broken down, John, right?
We have personal, public, and private actions, and you have government, public and private actions. That's how they broke it down. Okay. So for example, if the president goes out and gives a speech, that's a governmental public action. Okay. But if he does something where the public does not know that's classified, then that's a private governmental action. Okay. If he does a public event personally, okay, let's say that like Biden going to Wawa, okay, then that's a public personal action.
Well, this is the thing. It needs to be broken down and really like analyzed and taken apart so we can get to the bottom of it. Otherwise, it leads to too much ambiguity. But at the bottom line is Trump's own lawyer admitted that all of the things that he's being accused of, or at least the vast majority of them, are out of the scope of this argument. He did it yesterday or Thursday? I think it was Thursday. They went down the line and he admitted all of them. He's like, yep. They can be prosecuted on all of these.
Sarah was arguing, though, however, that the prosecution and impeachment has to be done by Congress. He has to be impeached by Congress, convicted by Congress. I don't think that's the case.
If
Trump killed Biden, mm-hmm. That would have to happen. It couldn't happen in a federal court.
Right.
Like, it has to happen by Congress. That was the argument he was trying to make. Now, whether that's constitutional or not, you could argue that infinitum.
That's ridiculous.
Right? But that's what the argument he was trying to make, though.
What this whole thing is doing is allowing for the presidency, for the Oval Office, to be a crime scene. That's what this is allowing for. If we continue to push the can down the road or kick the can down the road, it's allowing for the Oval Office, whomever is sitting there, Republican or Democrat or otherwise, to be able to exploit whatever they want to exploit and do whatever they want to do and not be held accountable for it. You can still act on behalf of the American people and act according to the law of the land. And that is something that's being screwed with right here. For the time being, Don Jeffries, I'm going to go to you. What's up?
Well, no populist can possibly support the concept of somebody being above the law just because of his position. So, I mean, the idea of but this is a typical tact that you would expect, kind of a Nixonian thing. This is a kind of a stupid party tactic, trying to claim the president has immunity, which is again, I don't know who supports that, but the basis of the Trumpenstein project is that Trump must always lose. So I don't see him winning because he loses. This is for him to lose constantly because the people are losing. The people that see him as the hope of the opposition is losing. That's the whole idea of it. If he had a good legal team, and it doesn't surprise me that he has a lawyer that has a RFK Jr. problem. I don't know. I'm surprised he doesn't legally hire an illegal immigrant that can't speak English. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me as his lawyer, because this is what he finds the most comically bad attorneys that any, again, it's the Trumpenstein project. You can't tell me that he can't find somebody competent, but he can't. I mean, call up Robert Shapiro. It worked for OJ. But I mean, but this guy is the tack they should be taking is going against politicized prosecution. Right. And just show that, you know, for instance, in this, the latest case with the Stormy Daniels, I guess keep up with them. The Stormy Daniels nonsense, where you can say, okay, look, this is selective prosecution. Not only do we have a whole
history of rich men paying. Well, the conservative justices were making that argument, Don. They were making that argument that it was political prosecution. They were, yes.
Well, good.
And the lawyer was too as well. They were doing that.
Well, good. Okay. Well, I give him credit for that because that's all they have to do is say, look, you know, why is this guy, why is he the first rich man in the history of the world to be prosecuted for paying off a mistress? And, you know, you have a recent, case with Bill Clinton, same office, who paid $850,000 to Paula Jones. Trump is accused of 100. So this is what I mean about selective prosecution. I don't mind prosecuting them all. No one should be against the law. I don't want immunity for anything, but Trump is being selectively prosecuted, not because he's Trump and they hate him because they're all in on it together, but because they don't want an opposition and they're crushing down on future dissent. So if they can get him for an E. Jean Carroll, an absolute lunatic who belongs in a padded room somewhere, if they can believe a story that somebody raped you 30 years ago, and we don't know because she doesn't remember the year. If you could get somebody that, well, then we're all, I mean, they could find anybody. Hey, you know, this is what this woman says. You know, you raped her. She doesn't exactly remember when. The same kind of thing. If it gets you exaggerating about your the wealth of your property or claiming you have more than you have, which everybody does, especially when they're trying to sell something. Again, that sets up future precedents if they're going after real dissidents. So that's what I would argue. But it's not going to happen because this is – and I don't know. It's possible that they let Trump have a partial win here if they want more unrest in the streets, because that's the worst thing is if somehow Trump – or even worse, like Trump – if Trump somehow selected to get back in office and pardons himself, which I think he can do. I don't know. What will happen? What do you think the reaction will be? Again, I think – so I'm not
protest.
Sure.
Massive
protests. I think that's what they want, but I don't know what they're doing. I really don't. I mean, this is the end game is beyond my comprehension, because to me they have complete power over everyone. They've got almost everyone, vast majority of the American population has been programmed and conditioned to believe whatever they say. That's why they will accept the social credit score or digital currency or anything else. They'll accept everything. They proved that during the C word in Harp's, it has a 19 in it. Okay, it's not conservative. Okay, what I'm talking about. They proved that when they do the crazy stuff they had people doing there and shutting down business. Walmart, you talked about Walmart, wasn't shut down, but mom and pop stores selling the same products were. And again, nobody protests. You didn't have the Small Business Association of America or anybody protesting that. So they've shown they have complete control over everyone. I don't know what at the point this is. The only thing I can figure is my boy Huey Long. You know, one of his lines was he said, you know, and it's not enough for them to have everything; they have to know that you don't have it. So something like that may be into play here, where it's just sadistic. They're just doing it. They're just walking around and they're just stepping on every anthill they find. Because I don't know any other explanation for it.
All right, Chris, give me your thoughts.
I had heard this morning on Nights of the Storm that was Trump actually choking one of his lawyers?
I don't know. I don't
in think courtroom so. Or something.
I think I'd have found out about that.
Well, they just heard about the whole.
He's not above doing it, though. Yes, he's not above doing it.
I mean,
was that a great strip right?
I know that much. He's been falling asleep. He doesn't look very good. I don't know if he's choked anyone.
And so they claimed his lawyer said, I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. He has a small penis, don't forget. Yeah.
Well, yeah, him and Hitler. Yeah, they both.
I don't know.
No,
yeah. Yeah.
No, I actually. No, there's something I do remember, actually. I think Trump was doing a rally or whatever. And I think, obviously, he was doing his typical disparaging of the current judge presiding over his current case. And he was complaining that he couldn't come to the press conference or the rally like sooner or whatever. And he's a clown. I'm sick of talking about him. I'm sick of Joe Biden. Bobby Kennedy Jr. had me at the beginning. remember, John, we had some words, and I admitted, like, I was sucked in, and then I'm like, seeing what, you know, what he's doing now. And so I don't have anybody really.
There is nobody for us. There isn't.
Yeah. So, yeah, Orange Jesus, as Harlan Stonewall would say. I'm sick of him. Is that a good answer? I don't know.
And RFK, being as much of a big Zionist as he is, and he continues to be that way, Don, it continues to make mistake after mistake after mistake. Like, it's
Rabbi Shmuley. But
John, are they mistakes at this point?
Right. That's what I was about to say.
Mistakes in quotation marks, because people are still on the RFK Jr. bandwagon and are still because he's not even anti-vaccine. He's anti-COVID vaccine. Like, how many times has him and Del Bigtree have just talked about, well, we can make the vaccines better? Like, Big Pharma can make the vaccine. Could you even change Big Pharma?
Well, John, isn't his running mate like a part of Big Pharma? The woman?
They claim that she's against vaccines now because she had vaccine injury family members, supposedly, allegedly. Oh. But let's just forget she was dating Sergey Brin. She had an affair with Elon Musk. Okay. I mean, she's a transhumanist. She's just, I guess, anti-vax. So that makes it okay. Right. You know, it's like, I mean, come on. Like, RFK Jr.
is a very Trumpian. When he picked Shanahan, it was a very Trumpian move.
Yes.
He trotted out some nice names. Aaron Rodgers, Rand Paul, Jesse Ventura.
Cambridge Analytica kind of thing.
Yeah. Did you hear Tulsi Gabbard turn him down, Don? Tulsi Gabbard turned down RFK Jr. Allegedly. Yeah, she did. He asked her and she said no because she wants a job with the Trump administration.
Ooh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I've covered.
I don't see Trump hiring her there. I just don't see, but maybe. I don't know.
She's pretty. Trump will hire her, man.
That's true. What's
the name of his lawyer? She's really pretty.
Oh, yes, Abba Hoom or whatever. Yeah, yeah, she is. That's that has to be the only reason she was hired. I mean, come on, she was that's working.
Well, her father's in Ida Malta. Yeah. His lawyer, her father's in Ida Malta, directly, literally. Comes from a very powerful family.
So there's that, and she's hot. You gotta hire her. It's a done thing in the Trump administration. Okay, let's get up out of here.
She's no Rudy Giuliani, though, you know.
Hey,
no,
Trump's trying to fill up Rudy Giuliani in a dress. Let's just forget, okay?
Yeah, video. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Not Rudy. She's not.
Grabs your boobs, yeah.
And she's certainly not Sidney Powell, who is the sexiest without a doubt. You know, the
Kraken
leopard print
sweaters
that she wears. You know, she looking all good. What's up, Sidney Powell? How you doing? We need you back. Release the Kraken. Okay, we're getting out of here. Tell who's on YouTube, sir?
Oh, we got Foggy Trail, Cat Goya, John Lawler, Jackson T. Barrett, Harps, Don Lambert. I saw Deborah Wheeler.
Everybody.
Lots of people here. Vince Agnelli, my boy Vince Agnelli. And we got Brian D. Robert, Liz the Iron Maiden. Brian D. Roberts, who he's my new buddy, and I'm going to be tonight catching it at 8 p.m. Eastern. He and I and Australian Ben, we're kind of a MST 3000 thing where they screen these documentaries. We had Loose Change and some Waco stuff. I think tonight we're going to watch a documentary, the original Tea Party movement or something. But it's pretty cool. It's fun to watch this stuff we just make comments during it. And so everybody look at my Twitter, and you should be following me if you can, if X lets you, at Don Jeffries. I'll have the link up there tonight where you can watch it. You can also watch the archive version, but if you want to watch it live streaming, you can. And also please follow me at Substack, DonaldJeffries.substack.com.
I'm pretty sure Australian Ben doesn't exist just based on his name. Australia doesn't exist. I don't buy into any of it. I don't think it's real. It's just what it is. Okay, who is on Rockfin? And Chris, what's going on? Good to see you. Jason Barker, what is going on? How are you? Anna's in the chat. What's going on? Ghost Boo? Is that Ghost Boo?
Yeah.
Okay. Ghost Boo, how you doing? How you doing? What's up, Brian? What's going on? AM Wake Up is in the chat. What's up, buddy? Mr. Steve Poikinen, how are you? I know he shares in my affinity for Sidney Powell. He and I do a Sidney Powell review show every Saturday at 12 a.m. Tune in for it. It's Sidney Powell and everything she wears throughout the different decades. Me and Steve Poikkanen. What else do we have? Karen Carpenter, how are you? Greetings and blessings. I don't know how you're here right now, but you are. I don't know how I'm here right now. I stayed up to 3:30 last night, and I woke up at 8 a.m. It was crazy. What else? Assyrian girl, how are you? Gammy, how are you? My man, Colin Weissong, what's going on? I don't see you, but I'm sure you're around somewhere. Denver, what is going on? All right, I think I'm going to stop there. I don't know if anybody left any reviews on America Unplugged. I haven't checked them, but when Tony gets back, we will do that together. So next week, we'll read all the new reviews, and anyone that we missed, we're going to make sure we cover it at that point. And that's all. That's all. Closing thoughts, gentlemen. Anybody has closing thoughts for the people of the week?
Shout out to Guard in the chat. I see Gardner Goldsmith in the chat as well.
Goldsmith, the dude.
I want to mention to Brian. Yeah, Brian's saying a lot of stuff about RFK Jr. That's true. I've done multiple hours long stream exposing RFK Jr. to Epstein and his Zionist connections, and he's New Age Scientology connections, you know, when he was a lawyer, and River Keeper's Alliance and pro climate change narrative and stuff like that and everything. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, it's probably more. It's probably more than we'll ever know. You know, and Brian also mentioned something earlier up at the top of the chat too about the Noahide laws and Nasara Gassara and the Great Financial Reset. I've talked about that a lot on my channel too, which Biden, by the way, re-signed as every president has since, I think, Carter, definitely Reagan, the Rebbe's birthday into Education and Sharing Day into a national holiday again. Mm-hmm. And so Trump did it four times. Biden has done it all four times. And so
Kamala,
you know,
Harris
Rebbe,
will do it too. It's gonna be good.
Yeah, okay. No. Trump again.
Either way, somebody's gonna do it.
But that's all. I just wanted to just mention some things he was saying in the chat. I agree with him. Right. A lot of people don't talk about the Noahide laws. A lot of people don't talk about Chabad Lubavitch. You know, Jared Kushner was a Chabad Lubavitcher. Yeah. You know, so.
Birdhouse Blues is in the chat. Hamster Hideout is in the chat. What's going on with you guys? Liz the Iron Maiden, greetings and blessings to you. Always good to see you as usual. All right. Don Jeffries the Legendary. Denver's in the chat. I think I said what's up to him already, though. Don Jeffries, tell the people where they can find you.
Again, Donald Jeffries at Substack.com. My protest is the Substack. Please subscribe. Follow me on X at Don Jeffries. And again, you look for the link tonight. Every Saturday, 8 p.m., with my friend Brian Roberts, who's in the chat, and the non-existent Australian band, Benjamin Atkinson, the Land Down Under. We'll be there, and we'll make kind of MST3. I loved MST 3000, so it's kind of a little like that. I'm trying to find a way to superimpose our heads at the bottom of the screen, which would be great, but they haven't been able to do that yet. But
fantastic. It's dope.
It's kind of cool because you realize this is recent history, and these films are like from the 80s, 90s up through, you know, it's like the one we watched last week was another 9/11 movie that early Alex Jones produced, one, and very young Luke Rutkowski, and reminded all the good work he did originally. And, you know, the alt movement was, I don't know, it was more exciting back then, I guess. And
you see what happened. 9/11 Road to Tyranny?
No, it wasn't Road to Tyranny. If Brian's right. Still in the chat room, maybe he knows the, but the link, I think I put the link to the archive version up there, but it's very cool. So I enjoy doing that Saturday now.
Yeah, I'll tune in for this if you guys do it. You guys got to do 9/11, the greatest story ever told by Anthony Hilder. It's my favorite. Yep. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how factual it is, but it is fantastic. That guy had incredible charisma, man.
He did.
To sit there and watch those films. Yes. Anthony Hilder, the OG. So if you guys review that, I'll tune in, man. I'll listen to that. All right. Did I interrupt you? Cool. I did interrupt you for sure.
No.
Okay. No, here, Brian says, no, it was the 9/11 Chronicles Truth Rising.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it was produced and directed by Alex Jones. And it was very good. And Foggy Trail says, Luke Rutkowski was telling people to wear a mask in early 20s. Well, he's also a co-host for Tim Pool and has never answered me. So he's obviously changed, but I think he was 20
years
old.
He's a Bannon capo now. Him and Tim Full both praise Bannon officially.
The Tea Party thing tonight we'll be watching because it's a reminder of how some of these things start out organically or seemingly organically, and they look promising, and they just get corrupted and twisted into something else. And it's a shame because Luke did great work. We Are Change was great, but yeah, he's kind of, I don't even know if he does that anymore, but and that's unfortunately, obviously Alex Jones is a great, how many people did he wake up? And you remind her of those old days when he was before Trump, he was really doing some, I think, some exceptional work in terms of waking people up.
When the world was sane, or at least we thought it was, right? Sometimes ignorance is bliss. Okay. Chris Graves, tell the people where they can find you.
On the Infinite Fringe at some point, and on Paratruther at some point.
Right.
And yeah, that's about it. Freeworld.fm. Check out Tiger Tales.
There you go. Tiger Tales tonight, Mr. Angry Tiger. 8 p.m. Tune in exclusively on freeworld.fm. We're gonna start doing more exclusive stuff over there, man. But things are up and running thanks to Jason, man. So go over there and check it out. We got to get everybody else, all the other hosts back in.
I got to keep remembering my show if it actually works now. Wednesdays,
everything works now, I think. Well, more or less. John Brissom, the Patriot Street Fighter, live from the Kill Shed, Black Trump. What's going on? Tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Substack as well, too. I'm subscribed to Don. I appreciate the work that he's doing there. Substack seems not to be shadow banning us, at least from appearances. Yeah. So we read the documents. I'm putting my Finders book up there. I almost got 300 pages into the Finders with all my research, up to almost 700 sources in those 300 pages. We've read on Odyssey. We've read on Twitter. We've read on Gorf Social. Sometimes you can find me with Bill Ray Valentine on some of the shows that we do. We need to do another MAGA rap volume 3 for Live from the Kill Shed. Maybe you and I and Chris Graves should start some sort of like conspiracy space ghost coast to coast AM where you could be Moltar or something that might end up working out in the future or something. I'll be Zorak. It's fine. Okay. Even I don't think I could do as good a job as C. Martin Croker. But thanks for having me on.
Also, John, you're good friends with Jack Allen, and I know actually everybody here is, right? I just wanted to shout out that he has a speedy and a full recovery. Because if you want to know the whole story, it's on his Twitter thing. So,
all right.
Yeah. God bless him and his family and everyone.
Hope he's doing better.
Good guy. Yeah. Good guy. Very good.
TheInfiniteFringe.podbeam.com. I'm doing some new episodes. We're going to throw them up there. Thank you for everybody that downloaded the latest episode. I think it's the highest episode I ever did. And I put up an episode once a month at this point, and you guys are still around. So I really, really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. We'll put up some more. America Unplugged, 12 p.m. Eastern every Saturday on Rockfin on freeworld.fm. And soon, really soon, we'll be back to the prime time with Billy Ray Valentine on Sunday nights, tearing it up for a couple of hours. We'll see what develops, when you can hear me rant about stuff. Also, make sure you go over to Into the Microcosm. Make sure you go check out the show. Jimmy gave me a verbal lashing last night because I don't promote it as much. He says I should be. So there you go. Go to Into the Microcosm. Go check that out. Of course, AM Wake Up. Go do that. You know the whole deal.
Really, Billy Ray, really, can I say one more thing? I'm sorry to keep
it. No, you can't. Absolutely not.
Freeworlder.
Yes.
Is that a new term now?
Yes.
I will have rat salad on Cranium Blender on Monday.
That's my dude.
He's
excellent.
Awesome.
Excellent show. All right. Let's get up out of here. No closing music. We're good, right? You guys don't need the music this week. Just think about it in your heads. As we fade out into the sunset, you guys be good, okay? God bless. Do not burn the place down while we're gone. We'll be back next week. We expect all the pillows to be in their proper place. Please, if you're drinking the orange juice and there's only a little bit left, drink the rest of it and throw it out. Don't leave it in the refrigerator, please. We'll take it easy now, all right? Bye. Boom.